Good morning and welcome to today's oil market update with Callum McPherson. How are you today, Callum?
Very good. And yourself?
Yeah, keeping well, thank you. Not too bad. So there are more new lows this week as Brent moves below $25 per barrel. The virus continues to spread, and this seems to be putting more pressure on oil prices, Callum.
Yeah, the spread, I think, in the US is particularly worrying. Cases are now around 150,000, so this is well ahead of China. I mean, last week we were talking about whether the US would overtake China. It looks like it was going to, but yeah, a massive jump in the last few days. I mean, just New York alone has 60,000 cases, so it looks like even New York in isolation will overtake China. But the virus is also growing at very fast elsewhere in the US. I mean, California, there are around 6,000 cases, and there's several other states that are not far behind. So I think it really does seem to be growing quite out of control, I think, in the US. And it, of course, it's also growing quickly still in European states. Italy has also now overtaken China. Spain is pretty close behind. There was actually a very interesting interview I was listening to over the weekend, though, on the BBC for Radio 4's More or Less program, which is hosted by Tim Hartford, the economist, and he was interviewing statistician Professor David Spiegelhalter, who had been analysing the results produced by Imperial based on their modelling of the UK. And what he had found was that the projections produced by Imperial, including both the number of deaths and the breakdown of deaths by age, that were being projected by for the UK if the disease was just allowed to spread without any measures being put in place. And he found it coincided very closely with the normal number of deaths without coronavirus and indeed their breakdown across ages. So essentially what that seemed to suggest doing was actually bringing forward deaths that would have happened anyway. There are a couple of issues with this, though. I mean, the first one is that no one's really sure. I mean, definitely coronavirus does bring forward deaths that would have happened anyway, but no one's really sure exactly what the overlap is. I mean, maybe it's 80 or 90%, very high, but it could be that it's much lower, and so coronavirus is actually leading to incremental deaths, albeit with the same sort of distribution through age. And the other point, say, okay, well, all this is doing is bringing forward deaths that would have happened anyway, is that those are happening or would happen in a very short space of time. So you could end up with a year's worth of deaths happening in a matter of weeks. And of course, that's something that health services can't anywhere couldn't cope with. In spite of the sort of possible conclusion that the deaths would have happened anyway, it does seem to make sense to have these kind of lockdowns and measures to slow the spread of disease. But I think it does have implications for how governments might ultimately end the lockdowns, because if there is significant overlap essentially what the measures are doing is delaying deaths that would have happened anyway, then for the government it starts to become more of an economic question. And that is to weigh up the massive cost the lockdowns versus beefing up the NHS to deal with deaths that are being brought forward in time. So I think it'll be very interesting as the cases evolve over the next few weeks in the UK, in Europe, and in the US to see, and this would be the critical thing, to see whether these are predominantly deaths that would have happened anyway, which then the decision for the government becomes one of more of managing the spread of the disease through society in a way that the health services in respective countries can cope with, versus on the other hand, if there is actually rather low overlap, so in other words, coronavirus is creating incremental deaths, then of course it's much more challenging, and maybe the lockdowns would need to go on for longer. So I think that's the very interesting question to look out for in the data over the coming weeks.
Okay, and though Brent is very low, the forward curve is very steep. So this summer is trading over $30 per barrel. Is this sustainable?
One of the questions that this brings up is the cost of storage. Because clearly, if there is an oversupply of crude, which there certainly appears to be a very significant one, is how do you store it? And one of the things that starts to become popular when land-based conventional storage becomes filled up is to look for floating storage and store this excess inventory on the crude carriers. And one of the trades that you can then do is to buy oil in the spot market, put it on a ship, immediately sell the crude forward to take advantage of this very steep forward curve, because, you know, as you say, in the summer Brent's over $30 per barrel, and if you can do that at such a high price that more than pays for the cost of storing the crude on the ship in the meantime, then you can make money. And the more people do that, the more that tends to push down the summer price relative to the spot price, and indeed increase the cost of storage. So that sort of trade ought to continue until an equilibrium is reached. So as we start to see build up in inventories, the storage economics become more and more important when you look at the shape of the curve. Now one quote I heard recently for day rates for renting the cost of renting a very large crude carrier, which carries about 2 million barrels of crude per day, was $65,000. And that works out at a cost in view of the size of the vessel of about $0.03 per barrel per day. So if you rent the vessel for 90 days, that comes in at a cost of about $3 per barrel. But the spread between May Brent and August Brent is about $9 per barrel, so that suggests that there's a significant profit to be had from renting the vessel and selling forward. And in which case, that suggests that the curve is probably too steep. And if the curve is too steep, that can be addressed in one of two ways. Either the front contract, the May price should rally, or the August price ought to fall. Now, I think with the oversupply in the market the way it is, it's probably that the forward price ought to fall is more likely than the front contract is going to rally. So that suggests that maybe summer is overpriced. And the other possibility, of course, is that the day rates cost of renting vessels is too low, and indeed there has more recently been talk of vessels being rented at much higher prices than that. So the market is maybe we'll see how the market falls into some sort of equilibrium, but it does sort of raise the question about whether some prices are too high for me.
Okay, and finally, so is China starting to trend to normal, and does this give us clues about other countries?
Yeah, well, interestingly, Bloomberg reported on the Sinopec, so the Chinese oil producer and refiner, earnings call the other week. And they talked about their refining activity, which was quite interesting. And they said that the refinery utilization would be down to 66% in February. And that would be consistent with Chinese oil demand being down by about 3 to 4 million barrels per day, which is sort of figures that people were looking at. And they said that production would probably recover sometime in the second quarter. And so that suggests a disruption of maybe 2 or 3 months. So if we assume that is the case, and what happens in as has happened in China, happens elsewhere. In other words, we get 2 to 3 months of disruption in which demand is down by about a third. And then we consider the virus having moved on to Europe and the US, where together consumption is about 35 million barrels per day. And maybe we're a month into the virus, and that suggests we've got a further 1 or 2 months of disruption to go, in which production might be offline by, in which demand might be reduced by a third. So that suggests demand is down by a bit over 10 million barrels per day for 1 to 2 months. Then that gives us some indication based on the Chinese experience of what we may have ahead of us. But of course, it's not just about US and Europe. The virus is starting to spread elsewhere too. And for example, we have a lockdown in India, which before the virus, about 5 million barrels per day. And of course, there's the question of whether, given how quickly things are spreading, particularly in the US, whether the lockdowns will be possible to end them as quickly as they seem to be doing in China. So overall, even if the Chinese experience is repeated elsewhere, it looks like we have the prospect of a very significant disruption to demand continuing towards the summer. And even then, even when demand recovers, we have a huge backlog of inventory to deal with. So I would question actually whether the idea that demand is going to come back in the second half of the year and the oil market return to normal is particularly credible, and in which case that also brings into question the forward prices for this summer, where we have Brent over $30 a barrel, whether that's really consistent with the length of time that we may continue to see disruptions.
Okay, thank you for the update, Callum.
Excellent. Thank you, Toby.